Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're rocking with you until noon, and then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC, and they will take you up to the weekend at 4 o'clock. Of course, the Super Bowl this weekend. You can go down to Sky River Casino and watch the big game at 32 Brewer Street with D'Lo and KC if you want to do that. You got to call ahead and get a reservation. If you just want to go hang out at the humidor with them, starting, I think, at 2 o'clock up until the game starts, that you can just walk in and hang out. They'll be chilling in there. And if you want to watch the big game, though, at 32 Brewer Street, which I highly recommend, tons of TV, great food, great drinks, you got to call and make a reservation. Again, that's inside Sky River Casino to watch the big game with D'Lo and KC. All right, there's a couple of things I want to do.
Okay.
I want to get to our caller that we have on the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line. I want to give away flowers, and I want to talk about the Kings in the buyout market because the trade deadline has passed.
Okay.
So if they're going to add players, it would likely be via the buyout market. Let's do flowers first.
Okay.
Let's give away a dozen long stem roses with delivery. Let's hook up the homies with that.
Okay.
And then we'll get to our caller, and then we'll talk buyouts.
Okay.
Okay? That's what we're going to do on the fly. Here we go. James Hamm.
Love is in the air. ESPN 1320 is excited to give you a chance to celebrate all kinds of love this Valentine's Day with Strelitzia Flowers. You have a chance to win one dozen long stem roses with delivery courtesy of Strelitzia Flowers. To enter, all you have to do is listen to us here on the Insiders. And for the code word, enter the code word on the contest page at ESPN1320.com. You can also visit StrelitziaFlowersCompany.com. Use the code word RADIO224 for $10 off any purchase of $100 or more. Kyle.
Yes.
What is the code word for today for people to enter to win a dozen long stem roses?
You know what? I'm so glad you asked. Dozen.
Dozen?
Dozen. D-O-Z-E-N.
All right. Excellent. Everybody go right now. Enter to win. We have given away four already this week. We've got one more to give away this week. Super excited. They hand deliver everything. So this is like beautiful, gorgeous, long stem roses that will melt somebody's heart. So again, go to ESPN1320.com right now. Click on the Strelitzia Flowers logo and enter to win using the code word dozen.
D-O-Z-E-N. Let's hit the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. Don, you are on the Insiders with Kyle and James. What's up?
Yeah, hi guys. How are you guys doing this morning?
Doing great, buddy. How are you?
Good, good. I just want to call to talk about kind of Doug Christie and coaching here. And I just feel like he has a really tough conversation that needs to be had. Because with Monk and Keon and DeMar, you're 4-0. And this team really needs some scoring off the bench. And it's like, God, I know Zach's a 45 million dollar player, but I don't know, it seems like it's just a really unnatural fit with Monk and DeMar and Zach all in the starting lineup, and there's only one ball, and they're not great at cutting or setting back screens or things like that. So I don't know, to me this kind of might be Doug Christie's moment where he just has to make a really tough call and pull everyone together on this thing. And I don't know, just kind of curious what your thoughts are on that.
Hey, Don, what's your name?
Dan.
It's Dan. Dan.
Gotcha. I know about the whole Dom thing, but Dan, Don.
Whatever. Hey, shout out to you. What? Thanks, Dan. Appreciate the call, man.
It's one letter. Okay, thank you.
Perfect. Look, dude, I'm here already. I'm in this Start Keon boat.
Yeah.
There's literally tens of us. We're just over here hanging out.
I think, and there's more like thousands of you because I hear it all night long.
Let's go.
And my feeds wherever wherever you follow James on social media.
I thought I was just on this island, and it turns out there's an entire civilization on the other side of the island.
Yeah.
No, it's just you were explaining this at the break, and if you want to hang out with us during the breaks, please do it. YouTube.com/ESPN1320 and Twitch.tv/ESPN1320. But no, we were talking about this, man. Like, I am in the firmly in the camp that Keon Ellis should be starting.
Mm-hmm.
Pick the player out of Monk, DeRozan, and LaVine that should come off the bench. I have advocated that it should be DeMar DeRozan at this point, but it's not about one of those players is bad. It's not about they can't score. It's just about fit, and it's about maximizing what the Kings are doing.
Yep.
On a night-to-night basis. The problem is what you brought up at the break, and everybody's going to tell you. You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube with Malik Monk.
Nope.
He's their lead guard.
He's their only point guard on the roster.
He's the only...
Straight up.
Yeah, in the most traditional sense point guard that they have. Zach LaVine, you just traded for him. He makes $43 million or whatever it is. He can't come off the bench. Okay, that's why I get to DeMar DeRozan. Everybody goes, whoa, hey, he's a Hall of Famer. He can't come off the bench.
Averaging 20 a game.
Yeah, I would love to have that 20 a game off the bench.
Okay.
He can still do it. Manu Ginobili.
They're trying to give
Hall
away.
Hall of Famer off the
right
bench.
Right now, you're just trying to give away your Jake LaRavia minutes right there. Keon into the starting lineup.
Well,
DeMar off the bench. There goes Jake LaRavia's minutes.
Well, if I gotta give up my Jay LaRave minutes, I'm not doing it. I mean, I take back everything I've ever said. I want off this island. No, but man, it's just it makes the most sense. And I completely agree with our caller, Dan. Like that's the right move. The problem is the Kings aren't in a spot where they're going to make that move.
Yeah, I had someone on Twitter last night, Stock Jock 16.
Oh, the great Stock Jock 16.
Let's
sure.
push our media to ask tough questions. They did a good job versus Monty the other day.
Versus.
Please ask Doug why he isn't starting and closing with Keon when it gives the Kings the best chance to win. Like I'm not gonna keep asking a question that number one has been asked multiple times, and number two, I know the answer to. So like that's it. Like, there is no holding anyone to the fire, feet to the fire. Like, I hate to tell you.
It's not like that's just it. Is I will go to their next home game. And I, because the only press conference question I've ever asked, I asked Mike Brown, like, hey, you guys are 9-0 or whatever it was when Keon Ellis starts. Why doesn't he start?
Yeah.
And he gave some answer about Kevin and. I don't even remember. I didn't feel like it was a satisfactory answer. But you're gonna ask,
mm-hmm.
and if let's say you ask that, you open Doug's Nespresso and you go, hey, why don't you start and close with Keon, and he'll give some answer, and then I can jump in and be like, that's not good enough.
You can't handle the truth.
He's gonna say, because Monty McNair got asked kind of the same question twice the other day. And he basically said, well, I kind of just answered that. And that's what you're going to get. So we're going to ask.
Yeah.
In fact, like I said, I will do that. I'll go and go, hey, Keon seems to be playing great. Is there any consideration to having him in the starting or closing lineup? And he's going to say no, because you have Zach LaVine, who's a great scorer, and you have Malik Monk, who's their point guard, and you have DeMar DeRozan, who's a Hall of Famer, and then you need Keegan out there for size, and you're not going to take Domas off the court. Those guys are going to start for sure. And so it's just about figuring out the minutes and the rotations to make sure Keon's on the floor as much as possible, but they're going to start with that group, and those are talented players, and you feel like they're going to figure it out, so he's going to give them time to figure it out, blah, 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 blah. Like, I promise.
That's it.
He's not going to go like, oh my God, I haven't even thought about that.
Wait, I can start him?
Yeah, it's
that's
just
a thing.
So I get the wanting to ask hard questions and stuff, and I think for the most part they typically do. It's just those questions aren't going to necessarily get asked and lead to some like blow up confrontation.
Well, yeah, and I like we can't literally ask the same question every single game. Mm-hmm. That's just like, and I get it. Like there are people out there that really want this question answered. but they're going to give you the same answer they did before. And that's all I can tell you is, you know, they have other people that also have to have minutes and mm-hmm. also like they're big money players.
Mm-hmm.
And it's part of the issue here.
Yep. Now, if one of those players, be it Monk or DeRozan or LaVine,
mm-hmm.
walks up to Doug Christie and goes, "Hey, we're sputtering. We're a game below 500.
Mm-hmm.
We are clinging to a play-in spot. I think we can really elevate if I come off the bench. Start Keon and bring me off the bench." Then that's, now it's different.
Yep, it's a different story.
But I would obviously be super down to start Keon, and I would just sit down and have a tough conversation with DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah.
But that's also not the reality of the NBA.
Well, that, and go back to what Mike has said before he was let go here. He's like, if I start the best five players, why he didn't want to start Malik Monk. Once you hit the button, it was over. But
yep.
like he was very clear. He's like, if I start my five best players and it doesn't work, where do I turn? Like that's,
you got nothing.
I got nothing. Like that's it.
Yep.
I put my five best players out there. Your players are better than my five best players. Now what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we're at a lot of times right now.
Yep.
You put your five best players out there. They get off to a slow start in the first quarter. Done. Like,
yep.
Like,
and sometimes you can claw your way back into the game, but that's not a sustainable way to win basketball.
Nope. Not.
Anyways. 916-909-1320. That's the Elk Grove Kia talk line. 916-909-1320. Don, you're on the Insiders. What's up?
Are you saying Don or Don?
Don.
A-W-N? Oh, okay. Yeah,
D-O-N. It's like a Pam situation.
Yeah, exactly. first thing I just wanted to say, thank you guys for taking my call, being on the air. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
I also wanted to say, you guys are absolutely right, but I feel like the only thing Doug Christie with his lineups is just to let them know, like, hey, you guys have 3 minutes at the start of the game. If you're not getting stops, somebody's going to sit. And then I got to put Keon in, and then you're going to have to sit here and ride with the second unit. Like, that's just what it is. Like,
mm-hmm.
like James said, the money, how much all these guys are getting paid, the only one you pull out is Keegan. And I would tell, if I'm Doug, I'm telling them, if your name rhymes with Zydrunas Marshallonis, you're the only one that gets to stay after 2 minutes. Like, that's it. If you guys aren't playing defense, one of you is going to have to sit. Show me something. And I feel like Doug has said that on the radio before in the past, like, you know, having that conversation with him. And I feel like he's the kind of guy that he relates to people. Like, he meets you on mm-hmm. your level. He's like a motivator. I listen to Doug Christie, and then I'm just doing push-ups, and I'm like, oh, God, this guy's awesome.
I've tried that in the middle of the media room, and people look at me weird. Like,
that's great. And what's your actual name?
My name's CJ.
CJ, appreciate the call, CJ. Thanks, man. That's one of the problems of the timing here
mm-hmm.
is I think what CJ is saying is like, hey, that's a good idea. It's probably easier said than done because who do you pull out at that 3 minute mark? And let's say you're down 10.
Yeah.
A, who do you pull out and pause? And B, you just added Zach LaVine. They're going to let that, whether you think they should or not, the reality is they're going to let that try and work itself out. They're going to let DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine and Malik Monk play together as much as humanly possible early on.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to get extended run, especially when they're not practicing. They're going to get some extended run to try and figure this thing out. And the problem is let's say they get to 15 games of Zach LaVine, and they're like, ugh, this is just not, this isn't, okay. And Doug does what CJ was saying. He goes to those guys and says, you have 3 minutes. And if you're not figuring out in those 3 minutes, one of you is coming off the court, Keon's going in, and we're starting our rotation. You can do that, but you have at that point, if you wait 15 games, you have what, like 20 games left? And at that point, you might be cooked.
Well, Kyle, the only pathway forward the Kings have right now, just today.
Jake LaRavia.
Yes, is Jake LaRavia. The only pathway forward they have is with the starting group that they have. And to try to give them enough time on the court together to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way forward right now.
As of today, I agree.
You can say, oh, we're going to throw in Keon, but you're limiting the ceiling of your team by not just running them out there. And I know there's a good chance that the Kings are not going to figure this out, and that they're going to lose a lot more games than they win in the second half of the season, and this team is not going to make the playoffs. I'm just being honest.
Sure.
Go ahead.
I want to stick on something you just said. You think they lower their ceiling? I'm just going to stick with DeMar here. It can be whatever player you want. I'm going to say DeMar. If they move DeMar DeRozan to the bench and Keon Ellis into the starting lineup, and let's say DeMar is amenable to this, and you're going to get he's a 36-year-old pro. I don't think he'd pout either way, but you're going to get just the best version of him coming off the bench.
You think
it lowers their ceiling?
Yeah, I do. I think the best path forward for this team is for the five key guys to get on the same page, figure out how to play together, and if somehow you can make the playoffs, the only way through, Keon can be a huge part of what's happening, but the only way through is for them to get those five players firing on all cylinders. Whether they're starting together or they're playing, you know, in spot duty off the bench together, whatever, it doesn't matter. Still, the key is that those five players have to learn how to play together. Mm-hmm. Because Keon can play with anybody on any day of the week.
Sure.
He can. And Jonas Valanciunas, he can jump in and do the same thing. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, if you can't get those five players on the same page, your season's sunk one way or another. And it might be sunk already and we just don't see it.
Sure.
Or we do see it and we just don't want to admit it.
One way they could save it is the buyout market. We'll talk about that next. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
All right, Charlie gets a superstar whistle. That's fine. I get it now.
All right.
I didn't know.
We'll see.
I'll adapt my expectations going forward.
We'll see when people come in and sit in the chair and then hear it. And
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Wait.
I'm not going to say anything. Don't, because okay. I would be stunned if Jesse's listening right now. He's not here, is he? No, yeah, no. Nobody say anything to Jesse.
Okay.
I'm just going to let it play and we'll see if he has any kind of reaction.
Okay.
Anyways.
I'm here for it.
Yeah.
Where are we going with this discussion?
Jiffy Lube is what I'm calling it.
Shout out to Jiffy Lube. Are the Kings going to be players in the buyout market? let me ask you this. Could they, via the buyout market, via players available in free agency, do you think there's a player they could go get that would have any kind of tangible impact?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, we haven't seen who's getting bought out yet. And there's always this idea that someone's getting bought out and then they don't, right? Mm-hmm. So we're going to have to wait and see. But for me, like, look, the Kings, all of a sudden, they should always be looking for a small forward or power forward, 6'8", 6'9", you know. Like, if someone decides to waive one of those guys, the Kings should be all in, right? But I also think that they now have a glaring hole at the reserve point guard position.
Mm-hmm.
And there might be a guy that gets waived here in the next day or two or 5 days that makes sense to the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, whether, again, like, I don't know if Bones Highland, he got traded. I don't know if he's getting waived. I don't know if, DeLon Wright would get waived and potentially become a player but it doesn't matter. The Kings don't have a backup point guard right now. And that is so, like, you can just see it on the court. If this season spins out, it's like, okay, Devin Carter, go ahead and play backup point guard for the next, 30 games.
Right.
That's fine. 25 games. We're just going to let you get better and learn how to play at the NBA level. And maybe we got something. Maybe we don't. But if that's not the plan, then you have to try to go out and figure out your needs and try to, you know, add pieces. So I'll just like very quickly, we have like some weird stuff with Jake LaRavia at LaRavia's contract, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Grizzlies didn't pick up his fourth year team, like rookie scale option. So he, at the end of this year, is an unrestricted free agent, and the Kings cannot pay him more than $5.1 million. I saw people say, oh, you can give him the MLE or anything else. No, the Kings are capped at $5.1 million. That's all they can give him. It's the same exact situation they were in with Harry Giles a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So if Jake LaRavia blows up in Sacramento and all of a sudden becomes like a really expensive player, the Kings are going to have a tough time retaining him.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, they don't have rights to him outside of that $5.1 million. That's difficult. So if someone else wants to give him more money, the Kings can't do anything about it. But when you made the trade for Jake, basically he makes $3.3 million. The two players that you send out, Colby Jones and Alex Len, combined to make $4.2 million. You created $900,000 under the luxury tax to add to the $2.5 million you already had, right? When we combine that, you're like basically $3.4 million.
Mm-hmm.
Like, minimum scale contracts for veterans is $2.1 million. And again, it's prorated.
Okay.
And then rookie scale for a guy like Isaac Jones is like $1.6
million. Okay.
But again, it's prorated. So the Kings probably will bring in Isaac Jones on a regular contract. I don't have that guaranteed at this point.
But if they did, it would be like less than $800,000.
Yes, yeah, so it's going to be like roughly like $700,000 or $650,000, whatever it might be. So that's going to be one thing. And they should have enough for a second league minimum scale contract that they could offer to any of these veterans.
Okay.
So a guy like Ben Simmons is floating out there, and he's going to go meet with, I think, two teams, the Cavs and the Clippers.
When news comes that he's getting bought out, and in that same breaking news, it's like he's talking to the Clippers and the Cavs, he's going to one of those teams.
He is going to one of those
teams. He's starting there, and then he'll peruse. Like, no, he's going to one of those teams.
Yeah, exactly. And very, very few times has it been where a player gets bought out on a contract, goes to another team and makes like more than the league minimum.
Yeah.
Right. Usually during buyout season, players go where they want to go and where they think they're going to get to play so they can bump their value up long term. So again, if a player like Dennis Schroeder gets bought out, I don't think he's getting bought out now. He got shipped to Detroit, right? Mm-hmm. But if he were to get bought out, you'd be like, okay, like, look, if Schroeder is available on a minimum scale deal, you could make a run at him.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're going to be up against the Lakers, who he's played for multiple times, or you're going to be up against all these other teams that might have a better opportunity.
Right.
And so it's more likely that they would go there. So you're going to be looking for players, but I don't know what you can find in the buyout market. And the Kings have never been a destination location for buyout market players.
There would be like definite minutes available, but it'll be interesting to see if that's enough to get any kind of quality veteran to join up over joining a team that might have a real chance to make a deep playoff run.
Yeah.
At least on paper right now. This is via HoopsWire.
Mm-hmm.
These are the current point guards available on the free agent market. These are the ones that intrigue me in some way. Reggie Jackson is number one.
Yes.
Reggie Jackson is the exact type of player we're talking about.
Yes.
Where go organize the offense and maybe make a three every now and then.
Be physical. Go to the basket. Play a little bit of defense. Do some of the things. Like, just be a physical presence on the court. Yep.
He's the only one out of this group that I'm like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Because here's some other names. Markelle Fultz.
Nope.
Malachi Flynn.
Okay, maybe Malachi.
Okay.
Like, because Malachi can shoot it, right?
Elfrid Payton?
He's already going back to New Orleans. That was something that happened this morning.
Oh, okay. Yep. Okay, so this has not been updated yet. IT? Isaiah Thomas?
Yeah.
Like, this is John Wall's on this list, Killian Hayes, Kyra Lewis, Jamari Bouye. It just, like, those are the kind of names we're talking about.
Yeah, there's no one that moves any needle at all.
Mm-mm. Ryan Archie DiNacono?
No.
Yeah, no. Reggie Jackson is the one guy on this list that jumps out to me as a oh, that definitely helps. So yeah. to that end, I don't know that the Kings are going to be super involved in the buyout market because they're not just going to go sign somebody to sign somebody.
Nope. And I would also like look at the G League, see if there's a player that's playing out of his mind at the G League level as a point guard, maybe a defensive minded guy or whatever. But the reason why I would look at the G League too is because those guys are playing right now, and like they're ready to step in. Like they may not be of the level that you want them to be as far as players, but they've been like literally playing nonstop, as opposed to some of these players that you might look at on the buyout market that just haven't been playing for 2 months. You know, like I think Corey Joseph is another guy who could get bought out, but are the Kings going to go get Kojo and just to make sure they have a backup point guard?
If the Kings sign Corey Joseph, John Bull is going to be a guest on our program. I don't think I've ever known a person who enjoys watching a player less than our guy John Bull enjoys watching Corey Joseph.
Yeah, he's like, again, one of my favorite Kings to cover. He's one of the nicest guys
by
ever.
All accounts, one of the coolest dudes in the NBA.
Yeah, he was here the other night. Like he played for Orlando. Yeah. Did he get traded or is he, the rumors are he's getting bought out.
I don't think he got dealt.
Okay.
Not in any move that was on my radar.
Yeah. So if he does get bought out, it is what it is. Like I don't think the Kings are going to go up. Like Garrett Temple might get bought out. Like there's like a list of players that could get bought out.
I want to get to our caller.
Okay.
And then I have a question for you that I've been dying to ask.
Oh, all right.
And I keep forgetting, but I'm going to ask right here in a second. Mitch in New Jersey, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, doing Kyle, James.
Doing great.
What's happening?
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you.
It's going well, considering what's going to be happening in my next 8 days.
No,
but anyway, Kings and Chiefs. First of all these point guards that you're talking about, I mean, it's like they're on two or three teams every year. It's like,
yeah.
It's like, kind of reminds you of the death of a salesman. Come
sure.
on.
Yeah. Come on.
Does it seem like the Kings have gotten older from last year after the offseason and these trades? They got older. I think you want the team to be young and you want talent. And I'm hoping for the Chiefs. I can't stand the Eagles. It's just egg in the face. Pat Mahomes is like LeBron. I mean, especially in his early years, he made everybody better, got the team to the finals.
Yep.
Yeah, I need a little help with another star or two. But it just shows that it's more important to have players than the coach.
Yep.
And Andy Reid, Philadelphia letting Andy Reid go is egg in their face.
For sure. Thanks, Mitch. Appreciate the call. The Kings players did get older from last year. That's a thing that happened, for sure.
Well,
I know what he's saying. It was just kind of a funny thought.
No, and I agree, though. Like, you had a window that was, like, 8 years. And then you shortened that window to 2 years when you signed DeMar DeRozan. And then you shortened that window further when you brought in Zach LaVine.
Yep, you got older at that spot. You got older when you got significantly older when you shipped out Harrison Barnes and brought in DeMar DeRozan. Jake LaRavia is only 23.
Yeah.
That's quality. But Jonas Valanciunas has been around, this is his 12th year?
Yeah, he's 32.
Yeah, he's in it. So Mitch makes a great point. This has gone from this up-and-coming team where you're hoping for development to a, hey, there's really high urgency. You kind of need to win now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. You bring up the luxury tax a lot.
Yes.
And I don't, because you're not. You know, in Vivek Ranadive's head. So you have no idea if he would or would not, unless you do know and you want to let us know if they would go over the luxury tax. I'm inclined to believe they would if it meant making a title run. I'm inclined to believe they would not if they think that this is just kind of a like team that may or may not make the playoffs, which makes sense to me. But why should I, as a fan of basketball, or if I'm a Kings fan, why should I give a damn if the Kings are getting a check because they were under the luxury tax? Why do I care that they get an extra $8 or $10 or $12 million? Why does that matter to me?
Well, I mean, realistically, it shouldn't matter all that much to fans, but like the luxury tax is tied to like the aprons and everything else, right? So the Kings are X amount of dollars under the luxury tax, and then their X amount of dollars under the apron. And those numbers are only really like $3 million apart, right?
And the aprons affect like what kind of moves you can make and how you can make trades.
Totally.
So there's consequences that come with being at the aprons. It's not just a dollar amount.
Well, and going over the luxury tax is kind of like a gateway drug, right? Once you go over that luxury tax, you're like, okay, well, we're not that far from, we can go over the first apron. Oh, you know, oh, there's a good player. We can maybe go over the second apron. I'll be honest, I don't think that Vivek will go over the luxury tax, and I certainly wouldn't do it with this season, with this team right now.
Sure.
Like, again, right now, I just told you they're about $3.4 million under the luxury tax, right? Like, what do you think you're going to get that you just named the point guards that might be available? And maybe if you were to say, hey, we'll give you $5 million right now if you join the Sacramento Kings, Ben Simmons, as opposed to going to the Clippers. And the Clippers are like, yeah, we're giving you a league minimum deal, but you just got bought out of $38 million. Mm-hmm. Can you just take a league minimum deal? Well, what if he said, okay, yes, I would do that. Okay, will that make the difference? And maybe that type of move would. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're like, okay, it would make the difference. But if it's more like, hey, Isaac Jones and then one more player. The Kings are at 12 rostered players right now. Mm-hmm. They're three under the maximum, but really two under the minimum. Like, they need to sign two players. One of those, I believe, will be Isaac Jones. One of those could be. It could be Mason Jones. They could say, okay, Mason Jones as well. We'll do.
Yeah, like, salute. Thanks for hanging out. Here's
an extra $800,000 this year, right? Yeah. So you're in kind of a weird spot when it comes to the money. But for me, I'm not going to, as someone who covers this team, say, hey, Vivek, you really, really should spend $5 million right now for a team that I don't think is going to be great and push yourself over the luxury tax just because fans want to hear you that you went over the luxury tax. Yeah. Now, there's this weird thing that happened, which luxury tax teams kept trying to get below the taxes here. And according to Bobby Marks, like on January 23rd, teams were 18, like every team that was under the luxury tax was scheduled to get roughly $18 million in tax revenue, right? Payout.
Damn.
That's
the money that like Golden State's over the tax.
All of these teams that are over the tax, Minnesota's way over the, Phoenix is
Milwaukee,
paying like $160
Phoenix,
million, dollars, right?
Right. So they all pay into this pot. And that pot gets distributed to the non-tax.
All the other teams that don't get that don't go over the tax.
Got it. Okay.
So right now, that number went from $18 million, a potential $18 million payout that after we get through the trade deadline, has dropped all the way down to $11.4 million per team, and that's because number one, teams cut their salary, and number two, a couple of teams cut their salary so much that they went from tax-paying teams to non-tax-paying teams, and now you have more people in that pot.
So why does that matter?
Well, it matters that it went down because like to go over the tax is now less
I guess my question is, why should I care that Vivek Ranadive and King's ownership is now getting $5 million less in the tax?
Okay. Well, I would say this very quickly. If you go over the tax, whatever dollar amount you go over the tax, the team has to pay $1.50 for every dollar.
Right.
So if you go, let's just say $5 million over, that's $7.5 million. And on top of that, you have to pay that player salary. So that's another $5 million. So now you're $12.5 million. On top of that, now you don't get the $11.8 million.
Right.
You think, okay, why does that matter to me as a fan? Why does that matter? Where do you think your ticket sales money goes? Like, why do you think they keep jacking up ticket prices? And sure, like this team is like their value as a franchise has gone over $4 billion from $535 million when he bought the team. But that's not like he's got like a giant bank account with
$4 billion in it.
$3.5 billion. The only way to get that equity is to sell the team.
Right.
So like that money is like very, very like way out in the distance and it doesn't really even matter because Vivek doesn't intend to sell the team. What should matter to fans is that, like, number one, your money goes to pay towards player salaries. Mm-hmm. Number two, if you're asking them to go into the tax, just go into the tax, that's $20 million, $28 million or something that you're just saying, hey, go $5 million over the tax. Okay, 12 and a half. You start adding it up. You don't get the $12 million. Mm-hmm. Now you're like, Like so, $25 million. Where do you think, who's going to pay for that $25 million?
So
it's you,
by,
the fan.
By virtue of a bunch of teams that were over the tax going under, and that tax payment dropping from 18 to 11-ish million.
Yeah.
It makes tickets more expensive, potentially?
Well, if you were to go over the tax, it could make tickets more expensive.
I see.
And like right now, I think it just makes it less incentivized to go over the tax because $18 million versus $12
million, yeah.
That's a pretty substantial difference.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's not just about the tax itself and that payment itself. It's about how much you pay when you go over the tax and all that stuff. It's an accumulation.
The Suns owe $152 million just in luxury tax.
And where are they at in the standings?
12th?
Yeah, 12th.
Did they pass? They might have passed Golden State.
Okay, and if they owe that much, just so if you understand, they owe that much, that means that their salary is like over 200
million. I'm sorry, they're ninth. They're 25 and 25.
Okay, so their luxury tax dollar is one aspect of that. In order to get that high on the luxury tax, they're already paying $200 million in salary.
Mm-hmm.
So for a team like the Kings, not only are they paying like $32 million more for their team, but then on top of that, they're paying $140 million or whatever you said it was.
Oof.
It's $175 million more.
Golly.
So they're paying as much in salary.
Shout out to Matt Ishbia, man.
in luxury tax as the
He's
Kings
really
are paying for
it.
Their team.
All right. Jesse Tapia is going to join us next. We'll have mad props. We're talking Kings. We're talking Super Bowl. Going to play a fun game. That's coming up next on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. ESPN 1320. I don't know why I look at the insider sign like I need to look and see what the name of the show is, but I do it every time. This is The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
Now, back to The Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Super appropriate that this song is playing. Oh, you can't hear it on the stream. Sorry, everybody. It's Kendrick Lamar and The Weeknd.
All right.
And Kendrick Lamar, of course, performing at the Super Bowl halftime show, which is the game we're talking about in Mad Props because we have the Super Bowl and we have a Kings game on Saturday against the New Orleans Pelicans. Those are our two Mad Props today. But before we do that, a big salute to our guy, Charlie, who gave us a little handoff intro. Here we go.
It's time now for the handoff. Taking it right up the middle, here's Jesse Tapia with James and Kyle.
The hell's going on out here? What? Redo that one. Yeah, send that one back.
Hey. He did not know that there was like.
Dude, were you listening on your way in?
And
did
I didn't
you
hear that. No.
A bit about it.
No.
Okay. Oh man.
Woo. Heyo.
They said I played that for the chatty house, and they were like, "No, play on." Charlie gets a superstar whistle.
The hell he does. Teddy's out of the league.
Oh man, that was
no,
great.
That's crazy. What a way to start a Friday.
Are they all different, or does it say the same thing every time?
Play Kenny's. Oh, I just had it turned down. Hang on. This is. I think it's the same. I think he said it was the same. The names are just different.
List.
It's time now for the handoff. Running it outside, here's KC, Kenny Caraway with James and Kyle.
He got running it outside.
I guess, yeah, Damon's going to get...
It's time now for the handoff. Running it inside, here's D-Lo, Damian Barlin with James...
You got taking it up the middle.
Yeah, no, I got the battle.
I can't handle this.
Oh my god!
Maybe we'll just run back the old original intro that we had.
And Jesse.
Yeah.
It's time now for the handoff. Taking it right up the middle. Here's Jesse Tapia with James and Kyle.
Right up the middle is just insane.
No, I don't think so.
Oh man, let's get to Mad Props. There's a much more normal intro. Right. No, it's just not going to play now.
It's time for Mad Props. Two games, two props. Which number will be higher? That's for Kyle and James to decide. Here's Mad Props.
Oh, man. We'll start with you, Justin.
What do you got, Kyle?
We've got the Kings game Saturday against the Pelicans, the Super Bowl, of course, between the Eagles and the Chiefs. I've picked two stats from each of those and pitted them against each other, and we got to figure out which one's going to be higher. Zach LaVine points against the Pelicans or Saquon Barkley carries against the Chiefs?
Saquon Barkley rushes, carries. I'm going to go Saquon Barkley.
You said rushing carries.
Yeah, carries. Carries, yeah. Yep.
Okay, I am going to go Zach LaVine points.
Yeah, that's where I'm going as well. Maybe Saquon just has an unbelievable game because he's just an unstoppable force of nature. I feel like the Chiefs and Steve Spagnuolo are going to have a plan to like really limit him and force the Eagles into throwing, where we see Saquon Barkley have like 15, 16 carries, and Zach LaVine gets something more than 16. That's where I'm landing.
See, I'm at like 20 with Saquon. So
okay. Think LaVine gets 20 again?
I don't know. It kind of seems like it'll fluctuate. Like, some guy's going to get 25 this game, and someone's going to get, yeah. It'll be kind of in the middle of your game. So I'm going to count on Saquon.
James Hamm, Keon Ellis made threes or Juju Smith-Schuster receptions?
Oh.
I meant to bring up Juju's page here so I can give you some context on how many catches he has. His last, his last five games, 2-0, 1-2-0.
I'm going to go Keon.
Okay.
Yeah, give me Keon in this one. Just more than three sounds right.
I'm going with Juju because I think a rando is going to make a couple of plays, and I think Juju Smith-Schuster is going to have like three or four catches in this one. I don't think Keon gets three or four made threes, so I'm going with Juju Smith-Schuster in this one. Jesse, Domantas Sabonis points, rebounds, and assists. Or Eagles-Chiefs total points?
I don't know. Is Domas going to take more than six shots?
Buddy, great question.
I guess I'll go... I'm going to go Eagles... I don't know. I'm
73 was the total last time.
73 for Domas or the Eagles-Chiefs?
Eagles-Chiefs.
Okay. I'll go Eagles-Chiefs. Yeah, I'll go Eagles-Chiefs. I don't know. Domas is kind of being weird with how aggressive he's been in the last couple games.
Yeah.
James? I'm with you. I'm going Chiefs. Eagles.
I'm going Domas because... I don't know who's playing center for the Pelicans.
Well, buddy, like Joel Embiid and Andre Drummond were out for the 76ers, and what did Domas do that day?
I have no idea.
Like, he wasn't aggressive enough.
Mm. Is Misi hurt?
Oh, yeah. Eve Misi, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Domas is going to cook. I'm taking Domas. James Hamm, Jonas Valanciunas minutes or Patrick Mahomes completions?
Mahomes minutes.
Mahomes minutes.
I meant Mahomes.
Sounds right, yeah. 60 minutes from Mahomes.
Oh, that's tough. Yeah. I'm going to go Mahomes.
Jesse?
Yeah, I'll go Mahomes too.
I'm going that route as well. I see a lot of dink and dunk. A lot of easy completions.
Yeah, I do think that that Valanciunas against his former team is probably going to play quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it depends on foul trouble and everything else.
Yeah.
And I still, you can't, especially against that team, you can't really play both of them.
Yeah. Jesse Tapia, Malik Monk assists or Travis Kelce receptions?
Travis, I feel like I'm going off football with this one. But I'm going to go Travis Kelce though. He eats in the playoffs. I'm going to stick with Travis Kelce.
I'm going that exact same route. He did not have a big AFC title game. I think they're going to figure out ways to feature him.
I don't feel great about that, though. I think the Eagles are going to have something for the Chiefs. Like, they're not going to blow him out, but...
No, but because of that, I think it's going to be a lot of just like, hey, Patrick and Travis, go create something.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I think they're going to figure out... Patrick Mahomes specifically is going to figure out a way to get Travis Kelce the ball a lot. James?
I'm gonna go Malik Monk.
The other thing is nobody's passing the ball on the Kings right now.
It's kind of you cook, I'll cook.
Yeah, I just those 7, 8, 9 assist nights for Malik just seem like a thing of the past.
I do think that there's gonna come a point though where Doug has to say, hey, just go pick and roll this team to death. Mm-hmm. 5 minutes. I need a whole bunch of pick and roll, two man game stuff, and maybe he can get his assist there.
Last one, James Hamm. Keegan Murray, offensive rebounds or Eagles rushing touchdowns?
Eagles rushing touchdowns.
I'm in the same one.
Yeah, Eagles rushing touchdowns for me too.
They might have like 4 or 5 touchdowns on the ground in this one.
Yeah.
All right, that's mad props. This will be our last one for the year. Then we'll do totals and we'll add everything up and then we'll figure out how we're going to move the bit forward. But we can do that off the air. Before we step out, I want to give everybody my last lineup for underdog daily fantasy because I have one more 3-player lineup. I gave you one earlier. I'm going to give you another one. Underdog's daily fantasy. Their underdog pick'em game is super easy. You pick 2 or more players. You pick higher or lower on their stats, touchdowns, rushing attempts, like receiving targets in the first drive. They have so many stats to choose from. And the big game with the Eagles and Chiefs is the perfect time to sign up because Underdog is the best place to play pick'em. Download the app, sign up with promo code KYLEM, and deposit now to get up to $1,000 in bonus cash instantly. That's promo code KYLEM on the Underdog app. Here's my... My other lineup right now. I'm going to have multiple, but here's my other one. Harrison Butker, higher than half a missed field goal. I think at some point the Chiefs are going to try a really long one, and he's hurt. I think Harrison Butker is going to miss a field goal at some point. Juju Smith-Schuster, just talked about that. I'm going higher than 1.5 receptions. And then Jake Elliott, higher than 2.5 extra points made. Run that one up. It's going in all my lineups.
Sounds right.
Must be 18 plus and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncbgambling.org. All right. That's where we're at. I feel good about it.
I got the Eagles.
Going to win
one.
Some money. I am taking... I'm taking the Chiefs. Because if they lose, I won't feel dumb. Everything in my body is like, the Eagles are just better. The Eagles might just overwhelm them in a way that no team has been able to, and they win by like 2 scores.
I don't know if I'll go that far, but it's just, I'm kind of along the same line of thinking of you. Like, the Eagles are just better, like, in each.
Yeah, I
like,
think just, they're just better equipped to handle the Chiefs than, like, the Niners have been in the last couple of Super Bowls. But I'm still taking the Chiefs. I'm just rocking with them.
Yeah, I'm taking Chiefs.
All right.
Roll with my homies.
Yep.
It's his fantasy team. Yeah,
I know. Shout out. That's why I know.
Rolling with my homies.
Everybody who has been watching this show on YouTube has been in the chatty house all day talking about how much they can't wait for D'Lo and KC to start.
Yeah.
D'Lo's got some stuff to say about De'Aaron Fox. And that's coming up.
Yeah, I knew.
You're going to want to stick around for that. So what James and I are going to do is we're going to get out of the way. We're going to let D'Lo and KC jump in here. Jesse, thank you so much for hanging out. James, great week. Can't wait for next week. We'll be breaking down the Super Bowl, be breaking down the Kings as they continue moving forward. We'll also have the All-Star game, NBA All-Star stuff coming up as well. We've been The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Until Monday at 10 a.m., have a safe weekend. Drink water. Be nice, people.